I'd like to begin the greetings with a word from a man who has become well known in Lutheran circles all over the world as a member of the Executive Committee of the Lutheran World Federation, and especially as the presiding bishop of the American Lutheran Church, a man who is frequently quoted in the newspapers on many issues, and a man who, together with other leaders of his church, has continued to show a real interest in the life and work of the Missouri Synod, and who shares with us many of the decisions and the work that we make and do together through our work in the Lutheran Council in the United States of America. It's with a great deal of pleasure that I introduce to you the presiding bishop of the American Lutheran Church, Dr. David Preuss. Would you please welcome him?
Thank you. You'll wear yourself out getting up and down if you're going to do that through this whole troop. It's a great pleasure and privilege for me to be a part of this gathering and to greet you in the name of Jesus Christ from the congregations of the American Lutheran Church. There are so many things that come to mind at a gathering like this. To be able to congratulate President Bowman on his re-election. To commend you not only for that, but for bringing Augie Menicky, who is a great friend of so many of us in the American Lutheran Church, who have had the privilege of working with him in various capacities through the years. To remember not only cousins who have found a home in the Missouri Synod and have been treated royally by new delegates, at least on most occasions, but also to remember that a great-grandfather of ours, I've forgotten the date, I think it was in the late 1860s, that a grandfather of ours who was at that time a member of the Evangelical Norwegian Lutheran Church in America, at a meeting of the then Synodical Conference in Decorah, Iowa, the basement of First Lutheran Church, made the motion that that Synodical Conference group of Lutherans that included the Missouri Synod and various others begin work amongst black people. Negro missions, it was called then, in the United States. And to visit here and see the number of black persons who are a part of this gathering, and remember that it was only that hundred and a few years ago that those kinds of motions were necessary to get a bunch of immigrant people to recognize that there were people who had come from other parts of the world who also were to be the children of the gospel in the same way and measure and church that those who were making the motions and doing the voting were representing. I had two grandfathers that sang in the quartet at the Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, and who went out amongst those Missouri Synod congregations singing good Norwegian songs, trying to bring a little piety into the life of those stubborn. Well, I started off well. I shouldn't get off on that. Anyway, the associations are many and deep. And all you have to do is to think about your own families. I suspect most of you have got relatives in the churches that the rest of us up here represent. Certainly every time I ask our convention how many of you have got either a history of your own in the Missouri Synod or you've got brothers and sisters or close relatives, and way over half of the hands go up. That'll continue to be the case as we move back and forth and scatter ourselves across this country. Now I want to speak a moment about the new Evangelical Lutheran Church in America that is rapidly approaching reality. Convention votes of the three churches will be taken in August. Next May, if the summer's convention votes approve, we'll see the constituting convention of this new church. By January 1, 1988, the new church will be up and running. You in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod will be interested in the ELCA, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Confession of Faith. I consider it an outstanding statement that puts the new church solidly in the Lutheran evangelical tradition. Let me read just a few of the short paragraphs from this fine statement. starts out, this church confesses the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. This church confesses Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. Then Jesus Christ is the Word incarnate. Jesus Christ is present with us in the proclamation of God's message as both law and gospel. That is the Word of God. Thirdly, the canonical scriptures, the Old and New Testaments, are the written Word of God, inspired by God's Spirit speaking through their authors. They record and announce God's revelation centering in Jesus Christ. Through them, God's Spirit speaks to us to create and sustain Christian faith and fellowship for service in the world. This church accepts the canonical scriptures of the Old and New Testaments as the inspired Word of God and the authoritative source and norm of its proclamation, faith, and life. We think that this is just as sturdy a foundational statement as to what constitutes Lutherans in this United States of America or any place else in the world, as you can line up. Then it goes on to describe our commitment to the ecumenical creeds, the unaltered Lutheran Augsburg Confession, the other Lutheran confessional books. It's a strong statement and ought to reassure any of you as to what those of us who are coming together in this new constellation think needs to be at the bedrock for the churches that we presently represent as we form a single new church. We in the American Lutheran Church are as thankful to God for the solid confessional undergirding of this latest entry into the Lutheran merger history. While we regret that the LCMS is not a part of this new church, we are glad for the many ways in which Lutherans continue to work together. We especially treasure the great service we together provide through two of the agencies in which we are jointly engaged, Lutheran World Relief and Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services. Feeding hungry people, helping impoverished people to make a start in agriculture, health, education, and a host of other areas, as well as ministering to the myriad needs of refugees driven from their homes, is basic to the life of Christian discipleship. Lutheran people provide these ministries most effectively when we do them together. I have had opportunity to see, to view the work of Lutheran World Relief and Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services, and I can tell you it's thrilling. The most important work we share does not reflect itself in our organizational life, however. That is the great work of evangelizing. Whenever our witness to the gospel of Christ is clear, we are sharing in the most fundamental task that is before us as church. Whether or not we are in any kind of official relationship or not, whenever the gospel is preached with clarity, the witness to Jesus Christ is made openly, forthrightly, and in consonant with the scriptures. There we share in that work whether we have any other kind of connection with one another or not. A new believer is not baptized into the American Lutheran Church or the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but into the great Church of Christ, into the very body of Christ. Someplace up toward 50% of United States people, maybe 90, 100 million, have no meaningful relationship with the Church of Christ. That means our work is cut out for us, Lutherans and all of the rest of the Christian family in this country. There is learning to be had from others around the world. We're discovering them increasingly, and you have folks from other churches gathered here at this assembly. Last December, I visited the Mekane Yesus Lutheran Church in Ethiopia, and I came back stirred with a kind of hoped-for evangelical zeal in our church that would come close to that which is exemplified amongst them. They can teach us about evangelism. It is taken for granted there that when a person becomes a Christian, a part of that becoming is to become an evangelist, somebody who is consciously out seeking to be God's witness to other people, the means by which they are drawn into the fellowship of believers. As a result, they grow at a rate of 15% a year. They have only a handful of ordained clergy. And yet in the last 40 years, that church has grown from 25,000 people to nearly 700,000 people. an exciting group to visit. This in spite of terrible drought, terrible civil wars, and a Marxist government that frequently makes trouble for them because of their Christian faith. When I was greeted by the lay president of a jam-packed Addis Ababa church with pictures of Marx and Engels and Lenin in the streets outside, that president indicated this great swarm of people that were jammed into that church, people standing around the windows outside so they could be a part of it. And he turned to me and said, "This congregation has committed itself to the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what." And in that setting, the no matter what was terribly obvious because of the great sufferings they endure. It's that kind of spirit that issues forth whatever the concerns that is so badly needed here in America, where we're not under any kind of great suffering, where our problem is that everything is so easy, where the difficulty comes in that we can't get past just being so busy absorbing all of the good things that this country provides for us. To be evangelists, God's people, instruments, ambassadors, is the charge that he gives us all. May God give you and the LCMS and us and the ALC and us and the new ELCA that is about to be birthed, the kind of spirit that will ever represent the Lord Jesus Christ with courage and conviction and compassion. Thank you.
Bishop James Crumley, the presiding officer of the Lutheran Church in America, as I think some of you know, was hospitalized recently and underwent surgery for a gallbladder problem. He is therefore unable to be with us this evening, but has nevertheless represented through his right-hand man, the man who has been the number two man in the LCA for several years, the secretary of that church body, and a very good friend of all of us because we have worked with him for so many years in the Lutheran Council. It's with a great deal of pleasure that I introduce to you at this time the official representative of the Lutheran Church in America, its secretary, Dr. Reuben Swanson. Would you please welcome him?
President Bowman and Secretary Rosine, delegates and visitors, brothers and sisters, and partners and colleagues in Christ. First of all, I want to express on behalf of the Lutheran Church in America congratulations to you, President Bowman, and to the first Vice President-elect, Augie Menicky, colleagues and friends of ours for a number of years. Because of the opportunities I've had to serve in our church, I've become acquainted very closely with your president, and because of my membership in the Conference of Presidents and Bishops of our Lutheran Church in America, now for 22 years, I've been with Augie Menicky on a number of occasions. We look forward to the continuing friendship that you have shared with us as we have worked together in fulfilling the mandate that God has given to his church, to your church, and to our church. I indicated to Bishop Troyes as he came back to his chair to sit beside me that I'm going to make some of the same emphases as he did. We didn't chat with one another before we prepared our remarks tonight, but I hope I can say it in a bit of a differing way. I am pleased that I can be here with you at this convention. Regret that I have to come as a representative of Dr. Crumley because of the occasion that prevents his being with us. As has been noted to you, he underwent surgery, and I am pleased to report to you that he is recuperating nicely and will return to his office this week. I expect to see him on Thursday when I return there, and I will extend to him your greetings from this Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Convention and the well wishes I know that you extend to him. And he asked me personally on Friday as I chatted with him to please extend to each and to all of you his best wishes for a very successful and meaningful convention as you have gathered here, the members and the friends of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Our two church bodies have had a long relationship through the leaders of congregations, district and synodical leaders, and national or church-wide leaders. That relationship that we affirm has resulted in joint undertakings in some communities by congregations. Common common endeavors by some districts and synods, and evidences of partnership in some activities by our church bodies. We have shared in the projects to which I allude because of a common confessional affirmation and because of a recognition and desire to enhance the impact of the kingdom of God on the world and in the society of which we are a part. Now our Lutheran Church in America, as Bishop Preuss has pointed out to you, is participating with two other Lutheran Church bodies to form the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. The coming into being of that church should not be taken as reason to lessen relationships or decrease the evidence of partnership. The opposite ought to be true. The ELCA will be a Lutheran church solidly based on the Lutheran confessions. Within that church, as within its antecedent bodies and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will be divergent convictions as the manifestations of those dearly held and highly treasured confessions are interpreted and affirmed. Nevertheless, we are all Lutherans, and as such we need and must make joint witness of our commitment to Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Church, in those arenas of church mission and ministry, wherever we can do so without compromising the integrity of our respective church bodies as humanly self-governing entities, though equally and similarly expressions of the body of Christ. As a leader of a synod of the Lutheran Church in America, I enjoyed the privilege of a number of common ventures with the leaders and members of the districts that serve the geographical area I serve. As president of the Lutheran Council, I have appreciated the opportunity to periodically meet with your president and other leaders to review, to plan, and to implement a number of joint undertakings. Each of our church bodies has contributed to the other by such undertakings, and these must continue, and I would hope be increased for the sake of Christendom. Last month, my wife and I had the opportunity to visit Japan, and while there, we met with a number of church leaders, both Japanese and missionary. That experience was most informative to us, and among other things, made us take greater note than we had in the past of news reports and articles telling about that country and its people. And thus it was with much interest, and some of you, I'm sure, read the same article to which I make reference, one in the Wall Street Journal a few weeks ago, that told about the minimal results of missionary work in Japan. In the context of, quote, return on investment, end quote, the results are very meager in contrast to the experience of U.S.-based church missionaries in other parts of the world, and particularly in the Third World, and Bishop Preuss referred to that. For church body after church body in Japan, there are more often than not years of witness and service before there is a measurable response to the gospel message. I note this experience to you, our brothers and sisters tonight, of the missionary enterprise in the Far East to remind you and me alike that the return on investment of the Christian church is not what it could or should be in this country. Unhesitatingly, we affirm that we have a treasure to be shared. That is our faith in Jesus Christ. Each of our church bodies has that mandate. Each has the responsibility to successfully fulfill it. Because we have the same Christocentric foundation and a common Lutheran confessional heritage, I ask you, should it not be that we strengthen one another in our mission fulfillment by common counsel, planning and activity whenever possible? I call tonight for increasing respect by each of our bodies for the other, as we acknowledge the integrity of each other's commitment to serve Jesus Christ as a part of his body. And I yearn for a growing acceptance and understanding by each of our church bodies for the other, as from time to time we affirm varying positions, even sometimes diametrically opposite, on issues that confront society. And I plead for a growing relationship among the members and leaders of each of our church bodies, for those of the other, as we acknowledge that we are one in the household of Christ's faith and thus kin of each other because of our common confessional heritage and commitment. And as I will note in a few minutes when I speak to you on behalf of the Lutheran Council in the USA, we've taken risks together in days that are past, without compromising the integrity of our individual church bodies. May we continue to do that in the future. and I believe that such would be and will be pleasing to God. I pray for God's blessing and His guidance to you as you deliberate throughout this convention. I wish you successful faithfulness in your service to Him and for His people. The task that you have as a church body is great, but our God is greater. And so I thank you, sisters and brothers of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, for the witness and faithful responsiveness to the commission that's been given to all people by the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Swanson. The presiding officer of the Association of Evangelical Lutheran Churches, Bishop Will Hertzfeld, is vacationing in Europe, but he has asked his executive secretary, Dr. Elwin Ewolf, to bring the greetings of his church body to us this evening, and it's with pleasure that I welcome Dr. Ewolf and ask you to do the same. Thank you. Dr. Bowman and delegates, first of all, I also wish to join the others in congratulating you and be assured of our church's continued prayers for your leadership, Ralph. This is perhaps the most difficult assignment that Bishop Hertzfeld has ever assigned to me. In a peculiar way, this convention is an emotional tie to me and my church, and you know what I mean. It wasn't too many years ago we were part of it. And looking at it from that perspective, when I was asked to take this assignment and spoke with our board of directors and bishop and others, we said, how do we say something to the LCMS for the last time that we as a church will have that opportunity? Because God has blessed us, and we are going to be joining with ALC and LCA in the formation of a new church. And hopefully by your next convention, it will be that church bringing greetings. So what can we say? And I decided to use the approach that Dr. Bowman has used when both times that he has been willing to speak to our convention. That approach being blunt honesty, I think. To talk a little bit about the pain, and then to ask for mutual forgiveness that we as churches can move out together. It isn't easy for me to be here. We did not appreciate the harsh judgment again by one of your institutions that is training pastors for the future against our church and the other two churches that we are joining with. We were very pleased and gratified when Dr. Bowman assured us that their judgment against us is not the judgment of this church. We have been pained by, again, judgments of this church about women in the church, which makes it impossible for this church to recognize those women who are pastors in our church as pastors. But we believe that under God's grace, that will be resolved in the future also. But we have to say, as AELC entering into the new union, that we will never be able to accept limiting the role of women who are pastors in our church to the judgments that you make that they cannot be. Those are painful things for us to say. There's still some unfinished business between us. Unfinished business that results from the pronounced, severe, and unwarranted judgments against sisters and brothers in our church. Many of them leaders in my church, and many of them to be future leaders in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And we yearn for the day when this convention can officially remove those judgments. But we know it's going to take time and hard work. And we'll commit ourselves in any way we can as partners in the new church to find ways to resolve those issues so that those judgments can be removed in good faith by this convention. But this is really not the time to open old wounds or to deal with recriminations. While it's not humanly easy, and for those of you who know me, you'll know that it is particularly difficult sometimes. But I have been asked by my church through its board of directors to say that we need to forgive each other and to move to the future.
We in the AELC do forgive you and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for all the judgments made against us and for all the harm and human pain that it has caused. We would ask you to accept that forgiveness and in turn consider giving us forgiveness for any unnecessary harm and pain that we have caused you. For it is only as we walk together as forgiven and forgiving sisters and brothers in Christ that we can find ways to be in ministry effectively together. I am here to say again to you, as we have said in the past, you, the members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that we consider ourselves to be in fellowship with you on the basis of our common commitment to the same confessional positions as expressed in our church constitution. I am here to say that we in the AELC will continue to welcome you, our sisters and brothers in the LCMS, to share in the Lord's Supper with us in our congregations. And we will continue to share in the feast, in that feast, in the many congregations of the LCMS where we are welcome. We in the AELC believe that only through the sharing of the Eucharist can we find resolution to the conflicts. We in the AELC are excited about joining together with ALC and LCA in the ELCA. We look with anticipation toward the broadening fellowship with the Roman Catholic, Episcopal, Orthodox, and Reformed churches. That will be part of our new life, thanks to the leadership of the LCA and the ALC in the past years in those two directions. We are thankful that the ELCA will be a broadly ecumenical church, committed to a growing unity with those whom the Spirit of God has made one with us, to one baptism and one faith in the one Lord, who calls us through the apostles to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In the same sense, we in the AELC look forward to growing cooperation between the LCMS and the ELCA as expressions of that spirit of unity. We do regret that you, our sisters and brothers, to whom we are so attached in our history, have not joined in that union, but we understand it. We are confident that through the members of the AELC, because we haven't forgotten our roots in your history, that we share with other Lutherans in this union much of what is best about your church and of its history. I want to say finally that we continue to cherish the love and friendship for so many of you in the LCMS. We will continue to yearn for the time when the LCMS will join with the ELCA in even a broader union of this humanly divided Christendom. And that time will come. That's the promise. In behalf of the people of the AELC, I pray the blessing of the Spirit of God on your witness and service in Christ's name.
Since the president of our floor committee on elections has not yet signaled that he's here, may I make a brief response to our honored guests this evening. When Bishop Crumley spoke to this convention some few years ago, he pointed out that we in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and most of American Lutheranism are on what he called diverging courses. That means, as I take it, that we not only appear to be on separate tracks, but on tracks that tend to move that way, apart from each other, rather than closer to each other. At least, so it seems. And I would simply underscore that we have such very deep differences in so many doctrinal areas with our other American Lutheran colleagues that we earnestly desire to discuss them with you again and again under the Word of God and under the Lutheran confessional heritage, that I know I speak for Missouri in asking you to take back to your church bodies not only our greetings in return for your very cordial greetings, but also the earnestness of our desire to further in every way we can a very faithful Lutheran witness in every respect. It was said by one of the readers that we have made harsh judgments against the Association of Evangelical Lutheran Churches.
One part of me says, I suppose we have, in those days when the heat was very intense, and when we lost control of ourselves so very often in so many situations. But in all humility, I want to say to those who are members of the Association of Evangelical Lutheran Churches that we too reel under the impact of the judgments you expressed against this church body. When you said in rather plain language that you considered that we had left behind the gospel of Jesus Christ or had called down upon our seminary the judgment of God. Those were not kind words. And I think the healing of the divisions calls for both the kind of candor that we heard this evening and the kind I am employing right now. What I hope, however, is that the spirit of forgiveness that was so evident in Dr. Ewald's comments can indeed become the regnant spirit between and among all Lutherans. For as we heard from all of our church body representatives and greeters, both from the bodies and from the councils, there is so much work that needs to be done. We are doing so many things together in the name of Jesus Christ as we bring some relief to those who suffer, and welcome the strangers to our shores, and in so many ways. President Swanson of the Council brought such hopeful greetings as well about the future of that kind of work. And in all of our greeters, we heard reference to our common Lord, Jesus Christ, and his spirit of love and forgiveness for all people. I particularly welcome the word from Dr. Hammond, from our brothers and sisters in Australia, the reminder to put the marks of the church, as he called them, word and sacrament, uppermost in our attempts to be pure and right, as the Augsburg Confession says, in all of our relationships. And I hope that he especially will bring to his church body our pledge to do just that. We in the Missouri Synod are working hard these days to develop clarity and a measure of contemporaneity in the application of our biblical and confessional principles as they apply to inter-Christian relationships. The Commission on Theology and Church Relations, working under the mandates of previous conventions to give high priority to inter-Christian relationships, is developing guidelines, as they call them. And this convention will later on have an opportunity to hear some comments about the progress we're making as we try to study those areas of work. For it goes without saying that when you're living in a world that has a nuclear cloud hanging heavily over it, as we are living, as you're living in a world in which the younger generation isn't even sure they'll live to see 50 years, or in some cases 40 years of age, because they just don't know whether we'll keep the peace. And in a world in which Christianity grows larger but grows proportionately smaller every day, we're at most one out of four people on the face of this earth, with the command and the commission of our Lord Jesus to bring the gospel to the nations. It seems to me to be incumbent upon all of us who call Jesus Christ Lord and Savior as part of that quartile that is a tiny minority in this world, to learn to talk to each other, to learn to put each other's confession under the Word of God and the Lutheran confessions, to work very, very diligently, to do all we can to present to this world a united confession of the faith and the hope that is within us. And I pledge to our Lutheran friends and colleagues who are with us this evening and who have honored us with their presence that we in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod are willing, yea, eager, to pursue every invitation, every avenue, every opportunity that we can pursue with integrity and with faithfulness to God's Word and the cross of Jesus Christ, in an effort to do just that. One of the reasons we had all of these greetings early in our convention was so that Floor Committee 3, as it does its work on theology and church relations matter, might have the benefit of these words of greeting. And so I would especially ask Floor Committee 3 to consider these words that you heard this evening, and if they can help to guide and shape your resolutions as you bring them to us in final form, I hope that you will do that. My deep gratitude to all of you, fellow Lutherans, fellow Christians, and fellow strugglers to confess the name of Jesus Christ before the nations. We thank you for honoring us with your presence. We bid you goodbye, which means God with you, and ask you to bring our greetings to your brothers and sisters and ours in your church bodies and councils. Let's thank them for coming once again. Will you please?